What a tremendous thing it is to think of 180,000 priesthood holders meeting in 800 different groups throughout Canada and the United States, to listen to a prophet's voice and to be instructed. This is the greatest gathering of priesthood holders in the history of the church. And I'm always humbled and inspired and encouraged as I stand before a body of the priesthood, realizing that they have been chosen, ordained, and set apart, and authorized to act in the name of the Lord, to be a light unto the world, and to so live and use their influence to thwart the ways of Satan. There are many young boys in our priesthood gatherings tonight. And one of my grandsons said just this week, when it was mentioned what he needed to do to gain certain things, he said, well, that's a long way in the future. And I think when we're talking about our duties in the priesthood, and especially with our younger people, I'm sorry, with so many old people too, think they'll never die, think it's a long way in the future. I can live this way today, and I can live the way the Lord wants me to tomorrow. But I'd like to have these young men try to listen to what I have to say, because it's in your best interests. You hold the priesthood. You have been chosen to come forward in these latter days to hold the priesthood of God in the church, the only church in the world which has the priesthood of God. You're given the opportunity to act in His name. You've made covenants with the Lord to magnify your priesthood and help build the kingdom of God here upon the earth. And you've been given this promise: for whoso is faithful unto the obtaining of these two priesthoods, of which I have spoken, and the magnifying their calling, are sanctified by the Spirit unto the renewing their bodies, they become the sons of Moses and of Aaron and the seed of Abraham, and the church and kingdom and the elect of God. Therefore, all that my Father hath shall be given unto him. Now note the commandment that the Lord gives unto all the priesthood holders. And now I give unto you a commandment to beware concerning yourselves, to give diligent heed to the words of eternal life. For you shall live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Never before in the history of the world has your strength and influence been needed more than now to combat the evils of the world, which are as predicted and recorded in 2 Nephi. Speaking of this day and referring to the devil, Nephi says, "For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others he will pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus he, the devil, cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell." I didn't say hake. Brethren, that's a long way away, and you won't be well met unless you're prepared to do what the Lord has asked us to do. If we are to accomplish that we've been called and set apart to do, we must honor the priesthood, magnify our calling, and as presently is admonished, love God and keep His commandments. To keep the commandments requires self-discipline and obedience to the law. Obedience is the first law of heaven, and it is obedience to the laws of God that I should like to talk about particularly, because these laws affect not only our happiness and well-being here, but our eternal lives and are essential to it. First, I should like to emphasize that one of the greatest gifts that God has given to man is his free agency. You may choose your life and what you'll be. But the Lord has said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, whether you're boys or men. I should like to read a little poem, which most of you have heard, and some of you probably many times. Know this, that every man is free, that every soul is free to choose his life and what he'll be. For this eternal truth is given, that God will force no man to heaven. He'll call, persuade, direct to right, and bless with wisdom, love, and light. In nameless ways be good and kind, but never force the human mind. Freedom and reason make us men. Take this away, what are we then? Mere animals. And just as well the beasts may think of heaven and hell. We have the laws, and may choose how we will apply them. We must be prepared, however, to take the consequences. All the laws of God are for our good, for our benefit and welfare. And through obedience, we will be blessed. If disobedient, we'll suffer. Sometime, it may be much later. Self-discipline is the basis of our success. Man has been given a mind to think, to ponder, to understand, decide what he wants to do, and whether or not the sacrifice and discipline is worth it. And in the church, whether or not he can stand the ridicule and pressure of those with whom he associates. You've been called, you've been given the priesthood, you've been given the gospel, you are an example to the world, be a good one. When we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. He also said, I, the Lord, am bound when you do as I say, but when you do not what I say, you have no promise. The laws of nature are inflexible and rigid and right. Whether through ignorance or intentionally, you touch a hot stove, you're going to be burned. Or high voltage wire, you'll suffer the consequences. If you say, I'm going to defy gravity, jump off a high building or a high precipice, you might say halfway down, it all is going well. When you think of the sun, the moon, the stars, and when you think of the eclipse of the sun and the moon, how years pass between one time and another, and still the scientists can tell you to the exact minute when the sun will be eclipsed and where you can see it best. What a terrible thing it would be if we couldn't depend on the sun coming up in the morning. How uncomfortable we would be if just a few hours late, we'd freeze, and there would be very little, if any, life left upon the earth. Just because the sun said, well, I won't do it today. Those who were in the Skylab and in Apollo never thought of the laws as restricting them in what they were doing, but they used them as a means by which they could determine how to do it. And they and all who were associated with it spent years concentrating, trying to live and do those things which the laws of nature commanded. And it's an interesting thing how we, when we're training animals, we expect those animals to do exactly what they're told. And we'll spend hours, and we'll spend days, and we'll spend weeks, and we'll spend months training a hunting dog, or a sheepdog, or a horse, and how they do in the circuses with their circus animals, and how those men who are acrobats in the circus, the time they have to spend and how they're prepared to do those things that are necessary, using all the laws and obeying those laws to accomplish what they wish to do. The same is true with anything in life. But we who are prepared to spend that time and give rewards to our animals, or when they do right and punish them otherwise, and if they won't do what we tell them to and we can't train them, we dispose of them. How much more important it is that we take time to train our children to do what is right, and ourselves as children of God to do what is right, and to be sure we're where we should be, when we should be, doing the things we should be doing, and keeping the commandments of God, being obedient in every way. And as we do this, we can gain eternal life. How true this is. Priesthood holders, how fortunate and how blessed to have the scriptures, the word of God, and the prophet of God to direct us. We have our quorums and leaders to instruct and teach us the correct principles, encourage us to live them. How important that we listen to the prophet's voice and govern ourselves and obey the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. and gave us the gospel to guide us. We should always remember what Joseph Smith, the prophet, said. Whatever God requires is right, no matter what it is, although we may not see the reason, therefore, until all the events have transpired. Often throughout the ages, man has not known or understood why certain laws were given, but through faith in God, he has accepted and kept the commandments, if he were wise. Adam, when asked, "Why do you offer sacrifice?" said, "I know not, save the Lord commanded it." That was enough for Adam, and he kept the commandments. Imagine yourself being in Noah's place when the Lord told him to go and build an ark. There was no rain, there was nothing to worry him about it. But go build an ark. And he set about to build the ark, and he followed the directions. But there were many, many people who didn't follow. They didn't believe. They thought, well, it's a long way away, and if it does happen. And you know the results. Lehi was promised or directed to leave Jerusalem. You know, he had objections raised by his family. They questioned his sanity. But he followed and accepted the words of the Lord and was obedient to them. Then we have Nephi building the ship to take them across the waters. I wonder if anybody here can tell us why the Lord has said we should be baptized by immersion. We are obedient to that. Why the laying on of hands? Why can't we just say, yes, I'd like to be a member of this church and let it go at that? When the word of wisdom was given, there were many people who questioned it, and many, many didn't accept it, though it was the word of the Lord. Some say it was not a promise or a commandment, but when the Lord said he'd like you to do it, to me that's enough of a commandment. At the beginning of the, we have an article here refers to the use of nicotine. It was 140 years after that this follows, while those who were questioning the word of wisdom for the first 100 years. At the beginning of the article, these statements appear. It attacks the lungs, the heart, the brain. It has killed more people than the great epidemic of typhoid, tuberculosis, and yellow fever. At the conclusion of the article, it says that all the epidemics of typhoid throughout Western Europe since the beginning of the 16th century have caused fewer estimated deaths than the total number known to be caused by cigarettes in 1 year in the United States. Did the Lord know what he was talking about? Should the people listen to the commandments, whether they realize just why they are given? Brethren, we as priesthood holders, members of his church and kingdom here upon the earth, and I bear testimony that this is his church, and he directs it through a prophet of God, we should keep the commandments. The article tells a woman on the autopsy table and states that her scalp has been peeled back and there is only a cavity where her brain once was. It tells of a prominent lawyer in a large southern city who died of heart problem caused by the smoking of cigarettes. It tells of the suicide the dean of a community college who had blown off the top of his head when the agony of the smoker's emphysema had become too much to bear. It goes on to say that the use of nicotine and tobacco often lead to the use of heroin and other drugs of alcohol. In the face of all this, these facts, this information, thousands go on using cigarettes. This is another example of how important it is to listen to the prophet of God and keep the commandments given through him. The Lord has said of his prophet, "Wherefore, meaning the church, thou shalt give heed unto all his words and commandments, which he shall give unto you as he receiveth them walking in all holiness before me. For his word ye shall receive as if from mine own mouth, in all patience and faith. For by doing these things, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Yea, and the Lord will disperse the powers of darkness from before you and cause the heavens to shake for your good and his name's glory." Is that promise enough, brethren? Referring to the Sabbath day, surely the members of the church and priesthood holders will listen to the Lord when he says, "We keep the Sabbath, commands us to keep the Sabbath day holy. And that thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world, thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments upon my holy day. For verily this is a day appointed unto you to rest from your labors, and to pay thy devotions unto the Most High. Surely we can give one day out of seven serving the Lord who came and gave his life for us. Surely we can follow the teachings of the Lord where he says that we should do these things, worshiping him, expressing our gratitude and thanks for the sacrifice that he has made. It seems that this commandment is being ignored and broken more often all the time by men who hold the priesthood. Brethren, in many, many areas, it's time that we took stock of ourselves and do what the Lord wants us to do. A man said to me the other day, not long ago, "This church just demands too much of us." I said, "Brother, this church demands nothing of you. It just offers you a better way of life." He said, "Well, but it's awfully hard." I said, "Let's see if it is." I said, "Let's go and get a cigar and have a good smoke. Let's go and hold up the bank and see what happens. Let us go and join a group tonight as they go out on a big drunk." He said, "President Tanner, don't be ridiculous." I said, "All right, I won't if you won't." I said, "Just name one commandment that you think you shouldn't keep, or you would advise your son not to keep. Regarding our tithing, surely, brethren, we should be prepared to pay a tenth of what the Lord has given us, especially when we realize that it could be taken away from us overnight with fire, a hurricane, or any other thing that might take it away from us. I had a man when I was presiding over the Edmonton branch who came to me and said, 'I can't pay full tithing this year. I've had to do some building, some remodeling, and so on.' I told him what the Lord had said, he'd pour out blessings we could hardly contain. He said, 'Well, I can't do it.' Right after the first of the year, that man spent several days in the hospital with a high doctor bill, and he paid it. I'm not suggesting he was there because he didn't pay a full tithing, but I'm suggesting that evidence is there that he could have paid a full tithing. How would you like the Lord to figure out his blessings on the same basis that you are when you're figuring out your tithing? If you were in deep trouble, had physical or mental illness, or a family were suffering, causing us much concern, would you want him to say, 'Well, now, just how much can I keep from giving him? How close can I figure this blessing?' Brethren, let's be obedient to the commandments of God. Let us move and prove faithful. Let us be an example to the world, a light unto the world. Appreciate the priesthood which we have and the calling that is ours. We've been given the great privilege of holding the priesthood and the responsibility of taking the gospel to the world. We can do it by our actions as well as by precept, and much more effective. Only as we live and keep the commandments of God, being obedient in all things, can we fully enjoy life here and eternal life in the world to come, and be able to influence the world for the good and help build the kingdom of God here upon the earth. May we do this as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, which we are, and follow the prophet of God who has been chosen and through whom the Lord speaks. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.